The vision of Susan Cummings on January 31, 2003. Today, as I was making a worship poop for a friend, the Lord gave me a vision, and, as I was worshiping the Lord, He spoke to me about the vision. I submit it to you for your discernment, and for prayer. This is what He showed me. I am seated in a chair, and I suddenly feel compelled to worship the Lord. As I am worshiping, I am called up, and taken in the Spirit, to a place that I don't know of. It is a different area that I have not been to before. I see a building that I have entered, and am standing in a hallway. This hallway goes in two different directions, and is long and carpeted with red carpet. There are many doors along the corridor of the hallway. Each door is different though. There are tall doors, short doors, wooden doors, steel doors, glass doors, and arch doors, and many more. Too many to describe them all. It felt funny to see all of the different doors in this place. I was thinking about how odd it was for this to be this way, when I heard talking. I looked up and down the hallway, trying to find where the voices were coming from. I began walking down the corridor to the right. The lighting in this hallway was not bright, yet not dim either. There were no lights to be seen, yet it was lit, and you could see. I also noticed that there were no doorknobs on any of the doors. Each door was shut, and each had its own method of entrance. The sound of the voice trailed down the hall, as I continued to follow its sound. I noticed that the carpet was red, but it was also very worn. There were paths beaten into the fibers of the carpet, and it was obvious that this was a well-traveled place. Even though the carpet was worn, it was very inviting and pleasing to look at. It was comfortable to walk upon. As I walked on, I came to a junction. I looked, but did not see anyone, or hear anything from the other hallways, so I continued on. All at once, I see a man standing before a door up ahead of me. He was standing in front of the door with a sword in his hands. The voice seemed to be coming from within that door. I felt some apprehension about going up to the man, as he stood guarding that door, and he looked very serious. As I drew closer, he turned and looked at me. I then knew that he was no man, as he was an angel that guarded that door. I began to feel uncomfortable, and started to turn away from him, as I felt a sudden fear, and I did not want to seem foolish to him. The angel then lowered his sword, and pointed it at me. He said, "Whom do you seek?" I began to shake and I said that I didn't know why I was here, but that the master summoned me. The angel then smiled, and he looked at me closer, and said, "Yes, he has." He then stepped aside, and motioned for me to enter the door. The door then opened without anyone touching it. I felt relief flood into me as I stepped into the room. I was not prepared for the things that I would see here. I had entered into a room with maps all over the walls. Yet, they were not paper maps, but looked like real places somehow placed on the walls. Every continent was there, and every country. There were the oceans, and the seas, and the rivers. It was all there, on all of the walls. I was amazed at the sight, and I wondered who placed them up on the walls. I could also see two chairs in the room, and a line of people who stood by the chairs. In the chairs were seated a man, and the Lord. The man and the Lord were talking back and forth. I then realized that those were the voices that I heard from the hallway. They were not talking loud, but softly, and I wondered how I could hear them all the way from down the hallway. I noticed that the people in line came up to the Lord, one by one. There were men and women in the line. Each one stood by the Lord and talked with Him. The Lord would point to the maps, and speak of certain events that would happen to the countries, and He showed the person what would take place. As I watched, the Lord pointed to a country, and fire began to spread out in that country, and it devoured all of the crops in that land. I was horrified, as I watched. There was no one who could stop the fires. The man that stood with the Lord watched, and then he shook his head, and left the line. I watched as he walked away with his head down and his hands gripped together. The Lord looked sad, and watched him leave. The woman then approached the Lord ahead of me, and she stood next to the Lord. The Lord pointed to the oceans, and they began to churn with a great storm. The storm made huge waves that beat upon some lands, and upon the sea I saw ships, that were sinking from the huge waves. The storm was very powerful, and the roar of the waves terrified me as I watched. It seemed as if I could feel the pounding even from where I stood. The woman showed no emotion. I was amazed. She watched and said it did not matter, as the people were dead anyway. Then she backed away and turned to leave. I stopped her and put my hand on her shoulder. She hesitated, then continued on. The Lord watched her go, and there was grief in his eyes and pain that I did not want to see there. I felt somehow responsible. I then realized that it was my turn. I stepped forward and stood next to the Lord. I was very unsure of what I was supposed to do, but I felt safe with the Lord standing next to me. He noticed my reaction and smiled slightly. Then he raised his hand and pointed at the far wall in front of us. The wall came alive with a great shaking. It seemed that the whole wall shook, and the lands with it. I could feel the shaking from where I stood, and it terrified me. I grabbed onto the Lord and stood watching. As the lands shook violently, there was a great noise, and then it was still. The lands had split from the shaking, and it was deathly quiet. It was so quiet. I looked at the Lord, but he remained looking at the wall. I looked again, and I saw that there were very few untouched areas of the land. It was shaken till there was nothing recognizable. Then I saw one of the mountains erupt, and it spewed lava and ash over parts of the land, and it shook again. People were running everywhere, and there was nowhere to run to. Fires burned in places from where the lava landed, and it lit up the land like torches. I could smell the burned land. I then felt tired and looked to sit down. The Lord sat me next to him and looked at me. He then asked me if I understood what I saw. I considered the scenes that I saw since I entered the room. I said to the Lord that I knew that he had summoned me, but that I did not know why he had showed me these scenes and why the people were here. The Lord then said, "This is my map room. It is here that I have laid out the foundations of the earth even before I created them. All that has occurred since the beginning of time, I have seen and have carried up till this day. Nothing happens upon the earth without my foreknowledge or my sovereign will. I chose to create the earth for man, so that we could dwell together. My dwelling place has always been with man, but man rejected me and has chosen to live separate from me ever since. They have lived in the lower expanse without me and without my hand guiding them in their affairs. What you have seen here this day is the culmination of the generations and the repercussions of the choices they have made. The earth can no longer hide the sin and prevails to expel it. Throughout the ages, I have summoned people to come here and to see this room. It is here that I show them the awesome responsibility that comes with man's choices. It is also here that the hearts are revealed and shown for what is in them. You see, I call to my people, and they do not come to me. The few that do also choose whether they will carry my burden and reach out to those who dwell in those lands on the maps. Many choose not to respond, not to care. They are more concerned for their own personal safety and comfort, that they cannot reach out without jeopardizing their own lives and freedoms. They will not risk their life for their brother, and they walk away. The man that you saw was full of fear. He came out of obedience to me, but he had not conquered his fear and fully trust in me, and when he watched the fires come upon his lands, he could not trust me to use him, nor to even care for him. He looked good on the outside, but when he was challenged with the real threat to his safety, he backed away, unable to reach out to those who were hurting. He only saw the destruction and could not see the needs of the people. So he left to go to his own destruction and to his portion. The woman that was also here was full of dread. She watched as the storms tore away at her own lands, and she hardened her heart. She had not allowed me to walk with her in the earth and be her companion. She suffered through life without my grace and ended up hardened and cold. The many injustices of the times ate away at her faith until she could no longer believe that I even cared or that I could help her. She waded through life, enduring each thing that came with pain, and she gave up hope. She also came, but she did not come out of obedience, but out of necessity. Here she had a moment of peace, but she left to go back to the life without me. She did not see any hope in the storms, and so she could not reach out and help someone. She only sees death and destruction without mercy and justice. Then you came before me. I brought you here to show you some of the things that will come to your land. The great shaking has only just begun in reality, but I showed you so that you would know my heart in it. The shaking is necessary to dislodge all of the deeply entrenched sins and idolatry of the nation. Much is entrenched beneath the land and has been there from the beginning. But I am visiting the land, and it will be shaken so that it can be freed. The mountains erupted from the great pressures that have been building, and from the battle that has been waged over the destiny of your land. You were right to grab hold of me in the shaking, as it is the only safety that there is. Everything that can be shaken will be. Nothing will remain the same, nor can it be. For the cries of the earth demand liberty, and the cries of the generations of slain demand justice. The blood cries out from the ground and cannot be held back any longer. I have given time for men to reach out to me. I have given opportunities for all men to hear the truth. I have given my life for them to be saved and to know me, yet they continue to reject me and the truth. There is nothing else besides me, except for time itself. And even time is coming to an end. I call you here to show you what is to come. I call you to test your heart. Will you deny yourself and go and reach out to my people who remain on the earth and who will suffer greatly in the days to come? I say my people, as all men are mine, for I created them all. But they are not my children, nor are they my bride. Will you overcome your weaknesses and reach out to them at all costs? Can you stand trusting fully in me without wavering in the face of great trials and show my love to those around you? I saw your tiredness as you watched the great upheavals. I know of your labors and of your zeal for me. I know that you pursued me with devotion and are seeking me more. Yet, will you continue, knowing that it will cost you greatly? The flesh tires from the cost, but will you rise up in my strength and allow me to undergird you? Many fall because they can never allow me to come alongside of them and help them. They cannot admit that they have need of my help. They feel it is a sign of weakness and immaturity to be weak. Yet, they can never overcome their own faults enough to reach out themselves. Many will fall in the days to come, who once let me help them, and who knew my hand upon them, yet they felt the security of the position, and felt that they didn't need me anymore, and walked on without me. They felt that they had grew up and had now gained solidity, and were now examples to others, and were leaders of the people. Yet, they did not see their own pride, and could not even see that they had fell. They continued to walk alone, and slowly lost their faith and their tenderness. They soon lost all respect for others, and became arrogant and criticized others who struggled. The cost is great, and the price is high, yet the harvest is ready, and the time is short. Many think that there is still time, and don't remain alert, and are not seeking me. They are going on to their own demise, as they will not have my wisdom to guide them. They chose to go their own way, rather to pursue me. The cares of this world will lure many away, and cause them to become dull of hearing and of heart. They will lose their sensitivity to others, and will not even notice when things have changed, for their hearts are far from me. They will have their reward. I call you to come here, and to see what lies ahead. Many of my faithful prophets have already been here, and are now sounding the alarm. Many are faithful to reach out, and to call my own, and will you stand with them? Many will mock you, ridicule the word that I give to you, and criticize your walk, but I will be with you. Many will discount the voice that will speak through you, and will not believe the truth, but many others will. Will you pay the cost, and call my people to me? The lives of my prophets are in my hand, and I am turning them this way, and that way, and positioning them in the earth. They will sound the warning. And when the scenes that you saw, and still many more you would not see, will begin. I could feel his eyes looking right into my heart as he spoke. I did not feel fear, but I did feel all of my humanity within me. I have always felt that I knew he was with me, but at this moment I knew that I had not always walked in that knowledge. I could see many of the times where I had tried to carry too much, or do things without the Lord's wisdom, and I knew that He was right. I had not allowed the Lord to fully enable me, nor to empower me to be His servant. I did have zeal, but not a lot of strength. I said, Lord, take me and carry me, enable me to be Our servant, and to speak Your word with Your power. I cannot go any further without You as the head in my life. I trust You, and rely upon Your strength and wisdom, and not upon myself. Give me Your heart for Our people, and help me to speak to them, and to see them with Your eyes. For I will pay the cost, as I desire no other but You. The Lord looked at me with very grave eyes, and reached into my heart, and pulled tea out. I was shocked, and cried out. He calmly smiled at me, and reached into his heart, and pulled it out, and gave it to me. He said, You now have my heart. Be careful what you do with it. Never take it for granted, nor fail to obey its leading. Guard it carefully, and never fail to release it to others. Love those around you with my love, and speak the truth. I felt no pain as I stood there, but I did feel a release. I did not fear anymore, nor did I feel tired. I felt very full and free, and, as if I was loved completely, and had no strings attached to me. I was so caught up by the simplicity of His love, and how we make life hard by resisting Him. I clutched His heart to me, and there was a great stirring within me. I felt such hope rising in me for God's people. I saw the great destiny that awaited them, and the glory of His reunion. It was worth it all. Susan Cummings, January 31, 2002, at 3:41 in the morning.